Hi guys, on this show we're looking at Mara, Kilje, Guzman, Lindo, Sciorra, Lang, Woods and Fox. Looking at 1981's The Hard Way.
Hello everyone and welcome to a new episode of 100 Things We Learned From Film. I'm one of your hosts, my name's Planty, and podcasting, it's not like the movies. They get 17 takes to get it right, and we get one take. It takes our whole lives. We mess it up, and we're modern escapism. Shots fired.
And I'm the other guy, and I've got no reply to that.
Brilliant. But, and last, you know, I love you. Fantastic. Yep, yeah, John Boy, how are you?
I'm all right, brother. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's, back to recording on a night, which suits us, but doesn't really do anything for the podcast. We're the podcast trying to learn 100 things from every film that we cover. This week, John, we are talking about Wet.
Oh, 1991's The Hard Way, which you'd never seen before?
Never seen, so. And was a choice of yours, and was a choice. Now, history with this film, John?
In the 90s, you were going through it. There was a lot of stuff coming up. So there was a lot of comedies. There was a lot going on. But as I watched it, I realised how many actors are in that. Like Stephen Lang as well.
It's astonishing. And I think I got a fair way through it before I went, fucking hell, Stephen Lang.
Aye. And Delroy Lindo as well, young.
Yeah. Oh, well, Lindo. Never young.
He really wasn't he?
But Delroy Lindo is an absolute fucking treasure. He really
and
is.
And Gomez Adams.
Oh, again, I think I've written that down. I think I've got that on my notes there. Yeah, fantastic. So we'll what else could we have covered, John, in 1991?
So we have covered Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, was it 91? Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
1991, all the way back then. We went through these like New Jack City, so we'll try and pick some other ones out. So we're looking at, well, Thelma and Louise.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's what good waffles do. They stick together. Yeah.
Exactly. like burn victims. And Fried Green Tomatoes.
No, not for me.
Is it Delirious with John Candy?
I'm aware of it. I've definitely never seen it.
I don't think I've seen it. Barton Fink. Which
Barton Fink's fucking brilliant, by the way.
And The Hard Way. Deceived.
Deceived? What was that?
That's the one we... I'm sure it's Goldie Hawn. Kevin's dad for Home Alone.
I'm sure you bring this film up every time we talk about 91. I'm sure you do, and I don't know anything about it. Fantastic. So I think you probably picked well. I didn't have the best time with this. I'm not a big Michael J. Fox fan, John, to be honest. Spin City was all right, and obviously Back to the Future films pretty good, certainly the first two. I don't see a lot in him. Doc Hollywood's a piece of shit. Secret of My Success, I hate. I can't think of what. Oh, Frighteners. We did The Frighteners. He's great in The Frighteners.
Frighteners.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, again. Yeah. But again, not playing it slapsticky or too slapsticky, I guess. Yeah. Although he's acting against ghosts. Anyway, enough of what I think. Listeners, we want to know what you think. So get in touch on all our socials, which is just find us on the website 100thingswelearnedfromfilm.co.uk. That'll take you to all of our socials. Follow us there. Or you can pay us a quid a month, and we will mention you in every episode, as well as give you the chance to vote, which people did last week for our Romancing the Stone episode, for our romantic episode, Romancing the Stone. And on the back of that, I asked John, I gave John five films that I claimed some were made up and some were not. Books, rather. Romantic novels.
Yeah, books.
But
none
of them were made up. If you haven't listened to an episode yet, you'll win that quiz, listeners, by just saying they're all real. None of them were made up. They were all real. So for the patrons, I actually put a vote out for people, and John doesn't know this either, for people to tell us which book they wanted me to buy and read. And I put out Mad, Bad and Dangerous in Plaid, Aroused by Two Lions, which... I'm gutted neither of those won, just from the titles. Grace Before Meat didn't get a single vote. Beginner's Guide to Rakes got some votes. But the winner was Emily's Magical Bejeweled Codpiece, John.
Of course it is.
So
of course
it is. Right now I'm looking at a screen that says, Amazon, thank you for buying this book. It can now be downloaded to your Kindle. It's 56 Jesus. Pages, and I'm going to read the lot this weekend and fire it up. So by the time you... by the time you hear this, it'll be available to our patrons. So just give us a quid a month and you can get that and loads of other bits and pieces that we've done.
No. Well,
John, I'll let you have that for free. I'll send you that for free and you can listen to that when you're in your van at work.
That'd be so good.
You can listen to Bejeweled Cod Pieces.
I love a good Bejeweled Cod Piece.
I bet you fucking do. Right, but before we start, I would like to shout out the people that make this podcast happen. As I've said, patrons, I should be a bit more prepared. I'm giving you all a shout, and you've all got your own ways this week. Isn't that the way? So we'll start with Dale, the easy way. Biggie, the soft way. Stig, the prick way. Joe, the Greg Wallace way, which after this week's Twitter furore on Greg Wallace, Jesus Christ, that guy's been sliced into, and rightly so. Gadget, the way of the cruel DM. Josh, the Wilson way. Rachel Plant, the whatever way she tells me. Gav Belson, the hello nurse way. Gav McGill, that everyone spells my name the wrong way. Kieran, the bag of cans way. Mono, der Irish way. Rob Jones, the lovely way. Punk, the cunt way. Jake, the meth way. Jen and Adam, the keeping it in the family way. Megan, the nerdy way. Maria, let the Wookiee win way. Ian McComish, most likely to have seen this film way. Ali, the take it easy for once mate way. Dan Belson, the scowling at the other team on a quiz show way. Emily, the Nicky Clark way. Nigel Davis, the nerd shop owning way. Aaron, the shambling horde way. Ian Graham, the films no one's ever seen way. And Phil, the when are we gaming again, lads? When? Please, we've got a game again soon. Where are you? Answer me. Come on, lads. Way. Anyway, that's it. If you want a shout out of me just being horrible to you, give us a quid. I'm very good at it. I'm very good at being horrible to people.
Right, yeah, indeed.
This stops me being horrible to people in service jobs, being horrible to people that pay us. It's not true. I am trying my utmost to not be horrible to people in service jobs. Except service dogs. Fuck them. I have kicked a few C&I dogs to death. It's not true. I haven't done that either. Right, anyway. So, it starts. It's a Universal film. I love, John, by the way, this 75 years of Universal films ident.
I've seen it.
Goes through all of them. It's really, really good. This was actually the last film to feature that 75-year anniversary variant because the 75th anniversary, it was the year before. They should have put the 76th year anniversary, but why would they? The first film that they ever made, John, was called The Dawn of Netta in 1912, and it's lost like almost every single film from 1912 to 1919. I assume like the BBC with Doctor Who, they just taped over them.
You just, or just put them in a bunker somewhere.
I mean, listeners, don't go on the socials. It's a joke. I know that's not how film works. It's quite sad, actually. There's actually a Wikipedia page of all of their films from 1912 to 1919, and almost every single one of them is either lost or only a couple of reels exist. It's really fucking grim. But again, films were shit back then anyway, weren't they? Who wants to see a train arriving in a station?
Exactly. Yeah. If I went to that, I'd just go down to Central.
Get yourself poisoning with the Blue Lagoon as well. Yeah, great.
And use my face cameras.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, but he's such a lovely boy, isn't he? But he looks so freaky with that camera on his face.
I know.
By the way, this film made $65 million off of a $24 million budget. So it really is the secret of his success.
It really is, aye. Some of the location shots you can tell, did they? We paid nothing for it.
filmed on location, guerrilla style. Yeah. We see this guy driving through NYC, people break dancing. These guys are doing three-card Monty. Three-card Monty.
Yeah. I thought that was an American thing, but it originated in Spain. I just had, had to double check.
Yeah. Find the Lady, it's also known as. It's a street scam. And it's a sleight of hand scam where three cards are quickly rearranged. And the mark, not me, has to find the money card. A variant of this dates back to the 15th century, which was the Middle Ages, as you say, John.
Jesus.
In Spain. Yeah.
Back in the day. It's elite. By the way, it's elite because it's classed as gambling.
It is,
I didn't
realise
that. So I just thought it was good because it was con artists, but apparently it's classed as gambling.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, but it is absolutely con artists.
Oh, God, aye.
Yeah. Hey, look, that guy keeps winning. Yeah, but he sounds exactly like the guy running.
Yeah.
And they've got the same hair. I think they might be related.
And the same nose.
this fucking egregious jazz music. By the way, it felt like an absolute rip-off of Lethal Weapon.
I
was like, jeez, do I have to listen to this? And there's a billboard of a smoking man as well being erected. We'll come to that. Fucking horrifying thing.
I thought it was because of the cigarette in it, it would have been banned because
I was looking that up.
But apparently, President Nixon signed legislation in 1970 to officially ban sort of ads for cigarettes.
Right.
I know.
It didn't come in that quickly because Superman flies through a fucking Marlboro billboard,
that.
Didn't he? They got a million because it's a film.
Don't know if it's because it's a film. That's weird.
It's like that one on The Simpsons where and maybe that's what it's a rip off. The Simpsons where Chief Wiggum's cup keeps going up to his mouth. Maybe that's what it is. Anyway,
the radio
more
show.
About shite later. The guy gets out of the car, loads a gun, and calls 911. Hello, it's me again. I'm about to crash another party. Where is this accent from?
I know.
With these glasses on, I thought he was Rutger Hauer in The Hitcher.
Oh, good eye or Split Second?
Jacket. That's the one. I should have gone to Split Second. Well done. Fucking future episode, by the way.
Oh, therefore.
That is up to 1,000, that one. That's a Paul Payne episode for sure.
Oh, therefore, aye.
Isn't it?
I mean, anything with Taggart says, man, isn't it? It's got to be in it, isn't it? I forgot he was in it.
It's fucking brutal. Anyway. We meet baby Louise Guzman and James Woods, America's sweetheart James Woods. What a piece of shit he is. We won't talk about that. He's called Moss. Hello. He puts the siren on in traffic to get away from the traffic. And a hot date with Susan. He's got real anger problems, this guy.
He really
does. Real fucking issues.
And everything. Yeah. And every film he's got anger issues.
Yeah. He's shouting, it's police business. John Posse Comitatus is Latin for power of the guard, would you believe? The term dates back to the 9th century England, which means it's older than confidence tricks. What's that about? Well, it means the law can commandeer your vehicle, mate.
Oh, really?
And scratch the bonnet. Yeah. In the UK, rule in 2024 to say that you have to hand over your vehicle.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. So, absolutely.
Just to tie in with that, there's no upper limit to the speed that the police can drive in any situation, which is annoying.
I've got that as well. Well done, mate. That is such a weird one for us both to have. The use of sirens during emergency response is an operational decision for drivers, as controlled by Regulation 99 of the Road Vehicles Construction and Use Regulation 1986. This is Britain. Emergency vehicle drivers know that sirens must be used with restraint, particularly at night, so as not to cause a nuisance to residents or other road users. However, they cannot be banned because they are going to be required at some point. They can't be banned at night. Sorry, is the point I'm making there.
Yeah.
The report comes in that they've got to get to this guy. That he's really angry that this billboard's being put up, making them late. They get called to the club. Where the guy who we learn is a murderer is. And as he does a kind of like a U-turn, he nearly hits this construction worker guy. And he's like, I'm working here, which I kind of like. I was into that. The report is on 46th Street. 46th Street, John, is Queens. The New York School of Urban Ministry. In case you need a rapping priest, I guess.
No, half-eyes.
West 46th Street is Hell's Kitchen! And it runs between Broadway and Times Square, and Grand Central Station is there. It's like the second mention of Grand Central, but not that one.
No, that one.
Yeah. There you go. We're in the club now, and did you spot the song, by the way?
I know it's LL Cool J, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mama Gonna Knock You Out?
Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
LL Cool J.
Single from the same titled album. He is, yeah, double payday for the guy. Same album, 1991, according to a Vanity Fair article in 2018, which I'm not so sure I believe. Before Mama Said Knock You Out was released, many people felt LL Cool J's career was waning. His grandmother, who still believed in his talent, told him to, quote-unquote, knock out all his critics.
Of course she did, son. I can't.
It won the Grammy Award for Best Rap Solo Performance in 1992, not to be confused with the Granny Award, which obviously if that was real it should have
won.
It was 41st in the UK, 47 in New Zealand Prisant, 37 in Australia, and 17th in USA.
Okay.
Ladies do love Cool James, what can I say?
Hello, Cool James.
That's him.
He was good in Toys, though.
He is good in Toys. He's brilliant in Ninja. The shark movie.
Oh, Deep Blue Sea.
They ate me. A shark ate me. Juice, that was a good one. The team head in, and we see the killer in the crowd. He took his glasses off. That was when I realised it was Stephen Lang and not before.
Yeah, like crazy, isn't it?
Like tiny baby Steve. It's full of tiny baby people, but it was 1991. I guess the problem was I didn't recognise him, not as a blue kitty in that awful Pandora movie. Yeah. I had a really good time watching that in the cinema. And then I came out and I thought about it for a bit and thought, I never need to see that second movie ever again.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would like to see it. Like an hour long version of it. Give me get it down to an hour. Yeah. And I think I might enjoy that. Yeah. But like 3 hours. Somebody stop him. Somebody. Like.
There's Hollywood. Trouble coming out in there.
What is happening? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is happening? Why are there no editors in Hollywood? Is it like a dying profession or something?
AI's doing it for the money.
What, that little fucking shit child out of the Sixth Sense?
Aye.
Yeah, okay, AI, yeah.
AI.
He shoots this guy with this brilliant laser sight gun, by the way, which I had a big hard-on for.
Very Terminator-esque, isn't it?
It was, yeah. And the team head through this panic crowd to find him. Outside, Moss spots him in a crowd but can't get a clean shot. Killer grabs the best getaway vehicle that you could possibly want, doesn't he?
Tow truck.
Yeah, car still attached.
With car, exactly.
Which I was well into. This high-speed scene's got Moss clinging onto the door. It's really good stunt work. I kind of liked it. China and Billy catch up to them. He's like, hey, shoot the guy. He's like, I would if you'd get out the way, you tow truck driving super cop motherfucker. Which is such a good line. I was going to be the line that I used at the top of the show. Billy shoots the glass out the back window of the truck, and the killer lets the towed car loose. It smashes into the chasing car, and that's Billy and China out. And I love his line, oh, this is going to hurt.
Get ready.
The bad guy drives Moss into the cigarette that's being added to the billboard. Because it's kind of like, I think this version of New York City must be like Star Wars. There's only like six streets. You know, like in Star Wars, there's only six planets in this massive, huge thing. There's only six streets. And they all converge on this place with the cigarette.
With the cigarette. Yeah. Everywhere you look, somebody's looking at that bloody face.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrifying. I'm going to put pictures up on the socials if you've not seen this movie. It's horrifying. He hits him with, he's like, fancy a smoke, which is a pretty good line. He gets away as Moss lies on the road. He looks up at the billboard. I really hate that guy. We see a trailer for this Joe Gunn film. Right. Now, this film looks like dog shit from this trailer alone, but then we see more of it. And it's...
It just keeps
going. It's like a cross between Indiana Jones and Bond. isn't it?
With the ninja assassins, some ninjas and all that sort.
Is LL Cool J one of them?
Aye, great enough, aye. Ninja mode.
Yeah, it's...
Southward attack.
Yeah, anyway. Nick Lang is watching the trailer on his TV, and he smashes it with a People's Choice Award. He wants to make proper films, not ones that have numerals in the title.
So it was a CRT, wasn't it?
It was, CRT
So I was double-checking. So back in 1992, so I couldn't get 1991, but Philips advertised a widescreen TV, and its largest was 36 inches. They thought any bigger and it'd be too heavy.
Wow.
36 inches of pure pleasure.
I definitely had a 42-inch CRTV. Maybe not any bigger. Aye.
Did it have Nikon stereo and screen in screen?
It didn't have screen in screen. No, it didn't. Because I'm not a little rich boy. Well, I am now, but I wasn't then. Anyway. People's Choice Award John started in 1975 and is voted for by the public, hence the name. The first award recognised The Sting as favourite film of 1974 and favourite weapon in Lord of the Rings, possibly. Barbara Streisand as the year's favourite film actress and dog cloner. And John Wayne as favourite racist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, piece of shit he was. Ellen DeGeneres is the most awarded person with a total of 20 awards. She's also almost as big a piece of shit as John Wayne.
I know. Fucking hell, everything we hear about it's just never good, is it?
Michael J. Fox has won one Best Male Performer in a new series for Spin City in 1997. So at this point, he'd never won one. Why, John? Why?
Why are they lying? Why are they lying?
Lying
bastards. He's a good actor because it sounded like he'd won one.
there's a few bits in this where he's all right. I don't know. It's kind of the Tom Cruise thing. I just want to punch his face.
I'd like to punch Tom Cruise more, to be fair.
No, I can't watch anything with Tom Cruise in anymore. I could probably go back and watch stuff he's been in that I've liked previously.
I can't put
on another Mission Impossible. And I'll never watch that. Was it called Maverick, the new Top Gun? I don't like the first one. I'm never going to watch Maverick. I'm going to watch it. Rachel's going to watch it, and I'm just going to play Switch. Do you know what I mean? That's what's going to happen. I'm going to put Dave the Diver on the Switch, and she can do that.
And just blanket the world.
Yeah, just kind of look over the Switch every now and go, well, that's pretty.
Jennifer Connelly's in it, though.
In the new Maverick, is she? All right, okay. Oh, she takes my breath away.
Boom, 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 boom.
He says, you ever hear of A Midsummer Night's Dream 4? Which, okay. And his agent says, well, Henry V, that won awards for the little Scottish fellow. And I was like, what? So I went through the cast. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's talking about the Henry VIII film from 1989. Henry was Kenneth Branagh, of course. He directed it and starred in it. The only Scottish actor I could find in the main cast, John, was Robbie Coltrane, who was Falstaff.
Oh, big hagger.
R.I.P. almost your neighbour.
I know. Sterling Boy.
He only lived about 3 or 4 miles up the road from you.
Right.
But now he lives 6 or 7 feet underground. Jesus.
He's wumbling it up.
But then I figured what she was saying. He's not Scottish. He's Irish. Yeah, he's Northern Irish, Kenneth Branagh. I've watched fucking Belfast. I know. Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Being a Hollywood star, Nick doesn't care about playing cartoons. He wants to be the character Ray Kazanov, a real man character. I've written here. I don't know if that was what was said in the thing. His assistant shouts over, "Spielberg's wife's just had a new baby. Want me to send a basket?" Now, couple of things. Did you spot who the assistant was?
But I can't remember what she's feeling.
Little baby Kathy Najimy, right? So I assume this was before Sister Act? I want to say Sister Act was the same year. Maybe Sister Act was the year before. No, it can't because this was her debut. Debut, we'll have that as a fact. So Sister Act was probably roughly about the same time. Did Spielberg have a baby in 1991? No, he didn't. But he did have a baby in 1990. Sasha Spielberg was born in 1990. Her stage name is Buzzy Lee. She's an actor and musician. And a bee! Possibly. Buzzy Lee. Come on, girl. You can do better than that. you know, your father works with some of the best writers in the whole world. Maybe get them to run that round the table once more, girl, eh?
Oh, he says a bit of the JFL speech. His JFL speech. I don't know what it was.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It's a Jewish Film Institute, so it says something about he doesn't want to give him something because he didn't.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, don't be too nice because he didn't mention me in his JFL speech. That's brilliant. I'd heard that as AFI, American Film Institute. So well done you. Well you caught. Know. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realise there was such a thing. Oh, that's the next thing I'm just going to fucking rabbit hole myself in. Oh, that's so cool. She explains he's got 2 weeks before the director's taking people on. He offers to test for the role. He turns on a tape of a news story of Moss being interviewed for TV after the guy gets away. And he's like, why don't you kiss my ass? Lang wants to spend 2 weeks with him learning what he does. Smash cut to Moss and the chief, Delroy Lindo, of course. Yeah. And Moss is just like, bullshit! Because obviously he's just been told he wants to work with him.
Yeah.
Babysit, yeah. He does not want to. He's on the case of the killer, the party crusher. The chief explains he's got to do what he's doing, otherwise he'd be on the Pat and Mick for a couple of weeks anyway. Mm-hmm. He's going to be Ray Kazanov and he wants to blend in. He says, you've got two ways to do this. The easy way...
Meh.
What's the other way, John?
Did it hard way?
Yeah! Delroy wins the film. Congratulations, yeah. Delroy Lindo. You can retire happy. You've won the film.
People's Choice Award. Thank you.
Absolutely. I wonder if Delroy Lindo's won any of those. He's not that kind of actor, is he? He's like a proper character actor that goes under the radar.
He really is.
Yeah.
And even if he did, it'd be gone in 60 seconds.
Oh, very good. Very good work. Moss is smashing up a cigarette machine in frustration. Remember cigarette machines? And his date Susan comes in. She's got his messages and isn't mad that he stood her up. She says, I don't think you're one of these Cro-Magnon guys. And they plan dinner at 8. The fuck is Cro? I have never heard that term at all. So I looked it up. Cro-Magnons, or European Early Modern Humans, EEMH, were the first early modern humans, Homo sapiens, to settle in Europe. They migrated from Western Asia, continuously occupying the continent, possibly from as early as 56,800 years ago. They interacted and interbred with the indigenous Neanderthals. Coming over here, nicking our caves! Bastards.
Neanderthals.
Yeah. Yeah, Cro-Magnons. I will remember that. No, I won't. I don't. Any fact, it's really weird. Like, somebody messaged me the other day, Biggie messaged me the other day, and he said, he mentioned on Modern Escapism. He says, I heard one of my favourite facts. He says, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. Go and listen to American Pie. That one of the best facts I've ever heard. He says, I'm still laughing about it now. And I had to message him and go, what fact was it? He went, what fact do you think? I was like, mate, we've just recorded Romance in the Stone. It has gone from my head and it will never return, whatever it was. It was the MILFs, the militia that still uses the term MILF as their acronym over in Asia. Yeah, so thanks for that shout-out on the skates.
MILF.
And I was like, that is a really good fact that I'd forgotten. Just as I'm going to forget Cro-Magnon.
What? Forgot.
Who indeed?
Gone.
He's really into this woman. Like, he's having this conversation, he's really into him. Because I assume this is probably the first relationship he's had since Debbie Harry and that fucking telly.
Since he had his dodgy gun coming out of his hand. That's so weird.
Man, it's such a good film, isn't it? In fact, it's such a good film. I loved it as a teenager. I probably has aged terribly.
Totally. I probably wouldn't watch anything like that again.
Rachel's never seen it. I think she has to see it. That's the thing. I think I've got to get her to see it. Back in the office, we meet Kasanov. They say he looks like Nick Lang, only shorter. And this is kind of this gag, isn't it?
That's the way it goes all the way through.
Yeah, he's in this wig and moustache. I thought he looked like renowned wife beater John Lennon, personally.
Was it a wig?
Oh, no, it's not a wig, is it? It's actually his hair.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's just bad. And this moustache and these round glasses. Lang follows him around the station. He's like, it feels so real. It smells real, like a movie. He's banging on and on and on. He's like, do I get a gun? You know, for realism. Moss turns, runs into the chief. He's like, not if you tied my tongue to your tailpipe and drove at 80 miles an hour. I tried to give him a chance. I made it as far as the bathroom. The chief loves him, though. Look, my wife's crazy about you, he says. He offers to have the chief back to his place in LA. Do you like the beach? He's like, do we like the beach? And he fawns all over him. Moss isn't impressed at all. He calls him like Spunk Bubble or something. He's like, what about the Spunk Bubble? Because he's like, get the Spunk Bubble in here, doesn't he? And as he's like fawning over him, he's like, yeah, but what about the Spunk Bubble? He's like, yeah, we'll come to that.
I don't know, because he tried to launch him under the bus because he wants a gun, didn't he?
Yeah.
What a dick. What a dick.
He is a massive dick, yeah. Billy's got a lead. Billy, by the way, that was Luis Guzman's character. 35 yep. years old here.
Jesus. Little pop.
His lead is the gang, the Dead Romeos. Moss and Lang head out. Lang explains he's got respect for Moss and he wants to learn from him because he's like Yoda. Is he, you know, Yoda, little guy with the big ears. He explains he's staying with Moss. He's like, listen, you egomaniacal cockroach. It's great. They drive to the set of Death Wish 3, by the way.
Yeah, defo.
And Lang puts on a rubber gun in a holster on his ankle. It's from Props, which I kind of like.
And it squeaks as well, doesn't it?
Every now and again, it's like a dog toy. I was watching it with Rogue, and every time it squeaked, she kind of looked up to see what was going on.
That's so funny.
Moss won't have him, makes him stay in the car. Lang's framing shots when this bum startles him. Now, I knew this bum out, so I haven't looked him up, but I absolutely know exactly where I know him from. He's one of the night guards at Night at the Museum. You know, at the beginning, there's three of them. There's Mickey Rooney, there's Dick Van Dyke, and there's this guy,
and he's in Oz, The Great and Powerful Oz as well. He's quite well known, isn't he?
I hate it's that guy. Yeah, but again, one of those things where I just ran out of time. Listeners, the one thing that I will say is I always tend to run out of time. We set ourselves such fucking high thresholds on this that getting 69 Facts from Romance in the Stone has just been rankling with me all week. It's just been really fucking with me, especially John, when I found 10 facts about Columbia that I didn't use.
Oh, you dead?
No, I've done 10 facts about Columbia, including their gold museum.
Oh, what?
There you go. Can't have it. It's gone. But we've finished on 69, and that's always funny.
Do you like that number?
And maybe a little bit sexy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the gang hideout, Moss bursts through the door and asks them where the party crasher would have got his gun, which was similar
So I thought he was going to ask him if they had some slow-mo scene when he came in. It looked like one of the sets in Dredd.
It does, a little bit, yeah.
Where's Mama?
oh man, that's a great movie.
It really is. Sorry, I put you right off. Sorry.
Oh, mate, it is what it is. It's certainly more interesting than what I've got to say. He's got this baseball bat and he's basically battering the fuck out of them. They're like, oh, we thought you were Babe Ruth. We've done Babe Ruth at least twice. I know we have.
We do.
Just then the TV comes on and an interview with Nick Lang saying he cares about the environment and his films are all shot on biodegradable film stock. Moss smashes the TV with a bat. Biodegradable film stock, John, it does not exist.
Yeah, because
obviously the whole point is you want to keep film. I mean, it all degrades in the end. Look at fucking Universal's early output we've already discussed.
Exactly.
You
know,
put it in the bin bag with some lighter fluid and it all degrades, I'll tell you.
But I know I looked at it as well, I was like, biodegradable, let's see, but just normal wear and tear, to be honest.
Meanwhile, outside, Nick gets his phone nicked off a gang. And he threatens them. There's a cop inside. They turn the car around and come back. Moss gets the name Witherspoon from the gun manufacturer. They also do cheap ales. Just then, the place gets shot up from the outside. Yeah. Outside,
through the brick.
Yeah,
I noticed. But I was looking at the guns. So they're obviously a lot of handguns, but none of the bullets could have done that. I was looking at how durable bricks are. I know it sounds a bit weird, but handgun calibers, 9mm, 380, 48 into 22 is kind of get through brick. So the fact that they're just literally just rapping through the bloody bricks is a bit weird.
Yeah, it's...
Why must he light us?
Why, John? Why must bullet manufacturers? Why must brickies light us?
So if you're going to get a bulletproof jacket, just make sure it's made out of bricks.
Indeed. Yes. I'm going to do that. Outside, the car's been stripped and all Nick's stuff's gone. He follows a trail of clothes into this bar as Benny and a bunch of squad cars turn up. Benny explains he needs to leave the party crasher case alone, this is Moss, and instead work with Lang. Where is he anyway? As he gets thrown through this window.
Yeah.
Next scene, the car from the impound is this amazing pimp mobile, by the way.
Oh, 1977 Lincoln Continental.
Oh, is it really? Oh, fantastic. I loved it.
I thought it looked beautiful.
Yeah, and La Cucaracha on the horn, absolutely.
Love it.
They arrive to get a frog dog from this disgusting looking stand.
I couldn't find it anywhere, but I found a recipe for it. Do you want to know what the recipe is?
Yeah,
go on. 1 ounce of beef wiener, hot dog warm.
I've just about got that much.
quarter cup of french fries, cooked. Dash of ketchup and a dash of mustard. There you go. There's your frog dog.
No mention of Grey Poupon.
No.
Moss calls Susan and her daughter Bonnie picks up. She asks if he's a number of different men and then hangs up. Lang recommends next date, take the daughter. It'll help him get closer to the mum.
Did you see the shape of the phone?
No.
It was a hot dog phone.
Was it really? I didn't spot that.
Usually I can buy you something like that, but I can't find it anywhere. Oh. Can't find it. Couldn't even find it on eBay. I tried to get you a price for one. But I know.
Like the hamburger phone that you get with Sports Illustrated. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that's from. Is that a Simpsons reference or what? Listeners, let me know. I can't remember what that is. Lang is mirroring Moss, and that's another thing that gets Moss's back up.
Yeah.
They discuss the case that leads to Lang wanting to get inside Moss's skin. Moss has this brilliant monologue here, by the way.
Oh, he really does.
What's in there belongs to me. You're not going to learn what it means to be a cop by eating hot dogs and picking your teeth and asking stupid questions. We live this job. It's something we are, not something we do. Every time a cop walks into a car and has to give a speeding ticket, he knows he may have to kill somebody or be killed himself. That's not something you step into by strapping on a gun and riding around, strapping on a rubber gun and riding around all day. You get to go back to your $1 million beach house and your bimbos and your blowjobs and you get 17 takes to get it right. We get one take. It lasts our whole lives. We mess it up and we're dead. And Lang's like, wow, do that again. Right. And puts a dictaphone in his face.
I thought it was great funny, actually.
It is. I mean, it's a great bit of writing, that, and some good acting too. Moss throws the dictaphone, by the way. He doesn't half hoy it out of the car, doesn't he?
He really does, doesn't he?
They get a call with the party crasher's MO. It's a murdered trans person. Lang explains that the party crasher will hate having a poor review, just like actors would. So Moss calls him out on the news as dickless chicken shit. And of course, the party crasher's watching it.
No.
He plays maniacal probably better than anybody else. I quite like Buffalo Bill. Your man that was Buffalo Bill is pretty. Mm-hmm. He's pretty fucking good.
Oh, he's intense. He was brilliant, man.
This is also really good. Yeah. And I would argue could probably be in a better film.
True.
We like a buddy cop film. We've done a few of them now. We like a buddy cop film. At the boss's apartment, Lang is trying to make every bit of his life a character. He's like, nah, no one would believe it. Moss is about to head out on his date with Susan, but Lang's wandering around recording in a new dictaphone, checking out the apartment, Moss's life, all of his bills and things like that.
No.
One of them was, he was reading a letter from Con Ed. What the fuck's Con Ed? Con Edison is the NYC and Westchester power company. It's like Norweb or East Midlands Electricity. Don't try and tell me any of those companies don't exist anymore, because I won't believe it. As he heads out, he's like, well, why don't you just go back to your parties and your gerbil racing? And I was like, no. That's not a thing. Gerbil racing is not a thing. I'm not having that for a second. In 2012, John, there was a hamster and gerbil racing Olympics in Barnsley, South Yorkshire.
Mm-hmm.
and also hosted ferret racing and sheep goat steeplechases.
What?
I mean, you can't tell me they don't know how to have fun in they South Yorkshire. Fucking,
they really do, didn't they? They Andrington
really,
Tees Rail.
Truly do. I mean, there's no doubt there was always going to be ferret racing.
Oh, God, aye. Aye. They love a good ferret, didn't they?
Al Sibbe. Yeah. At his place, the party crashers playing this game. Like, this video game, which I don't really get what it was. It's like a little maze, and he was controlling him.
Aye.
And attacking people, and then he was...
At first, I thought it was an Amiga at first, but then it shows you a picture of the keys, but it's not an Amiga.
Yeah,
I
couldn't figure out what it was. Yeah. And then there's a couple of Apple computers in it, because there's one... I assume it's probably an Apple, because there's an Apple in Moss's apartment, and then there was an Apple computer... In that, you know, the lads had nicked. The dead Romeos had nicked.
Yeah, it was
so
up there.
So let's assume Apple paid advertising for this. It's usually their MO.
Yeah.
In the pizza place, there's a third
Sal's.
Wheel.
Sal's.
Huh? Sal's Pizza. Sal's. Yeah.
Bloody hell. I tried to Google it.
Oh, is it
I
real?
I tried to Google it. Try to find everything. So I put Sal's Pizza in. And then it came up with everything but. So I just put in how many pizza places are in New York.
Oof.
5,719 pizza places.
Jesus.
Like, what
Christ.
The fuck? Texas has only got 5,200.
All right, okay.
So I'm like, what the hell? There's just like a lot of pizza.
I would argue there's probably more Italians in New York.
And turtles.
True. Absolutely. Hey, pizza dude. The music in the background here, by the way, is Run Around Sue, a 1961 hit for Dion, Dublin, question mark. Number one in the US and Canada, 11 in the UK, and Dion got into the Grammy Hall of Fame for this particular song in 2002. Little tiny Christina Ricci, by the way. Little tiny baby Christina Ricci.
I thought it was her first film, but it wasn't it? Mermaids was her
Mermaids
first film?
Is her first film.
Yeah.
We've just watched, I'd never seen it before, we just watched Monster, the Eileen Wuornos story. You know, with her and...
Oh, with Charlize Theron?
Yeah. Whoa, mate, that is brilliant.
Nice.
I can't believe I've slept on that as long as I have. It's such a good film. She's really good. She's really good in that. Christina Ricci's really good in that. But again, is nowhere near the best thing, of course. Of course she isn't.
Nah.
They're dragging up personal stuff to try and get some information out of Moss, but he's not for it. Lang turns up as Ray Kasanov. Bonnie says he looks like Lang. He's like, oh yeah, but a little bit smaller, eh? A little bit shorter. Huh? And she's like, no, just older. It's like, okay. Nah. She's like, I prefer Mel Gibson anyway. And then they're all like, yeah, we all prefer Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson. Moss is furious. Because Kasanov joins them, Lang, of course. Upstairs in the pizza place, they're singing Big Girls Don't Cry as this table of drunk businessmen come in and being loud and coarse. And when they won't shut up, Moss beats them up and arrests them. Big Girls Don't Cry. The Four Seasons, John, in 1962. Topped the Billboard chart in the US for 5 whole weeks, but only made it to number 13 in the UK the same week. Our number one was Cliff Richard's Bachelor Boy.
Oh, well, until my dying day.
Which song is worse? Yeah, which song is worse? Listeners, you tell us.
God.
He tells Lang to call Midtown. Tell him it's a 1085, which is a respond without lights and siren, John. Lang takes the girls home and heads to meet Moss at the cop bar. He does this role-play thing as Susan, this oddly, slightly effeminate voice.
Was that McSorley's Ale Bar?
Is that what it's called?
McSorley's Old Ale Bar. It's a real place. Uh-huh. And I'm sure there's a couple of things that were filmed in it. I'm sure there was Rounders.
Okay.
Matt Damon and...
Rounders is pretty good.
So it's a real place.
All
there's
right,
another one, but I can't remember what it was.
In this feminine voice, he goes, can I get a Dubonnet? And I was like, what's a Dubonnet? And he brings him this little tiny kind of drink. Well, it's an aperitif.
Drink.
French. It's red wine, herbs, spices and sugar. He refuses to call Nick Susan. And when he finally does, it's some really good acting from Woods. And it's Susan.
That's good.
He's like, Susan, are you seeing other men? She's like, I just want you, but you won't let me in. It's not a great bit 33 years on, I'll be honest. It's not aged particularly well, that bit.
No, it really hasn't.
Next morning, Nick wakes up handcuffed to the sofa bed, and Moss has his meet with Witherspoon. The way this guy Witherspoon talks, by the way, is like he's in the beginning of a cough syrup advert, isn't it?
Man, Witherspoon.
I'd like a bottle of orange juice, please. one ticket to Nottingham, please. Meanwhile, Lang can't get free or get to the toilet, and Susan rings asking if they can meet for lunch. Witherspoon takes Moss into his office, which is this Dodge van. And he's got basically a gun-making factory in this Dodge van.
Yeah, and that van.
Witherspoon supplied the party crasher and has a further gun for him. He's like, you're going to meet with him for me. At lunch, Susan explains she really likes Moss, that she wants to sleep with him, but he needs to loosen up. She asks him what being a cop is like, and he gives her Moss's speech from earlier on.
Aye.
Which she's pretty taken with. They get the tube back to Susan's, and Nick tells her that it isn't going to happen. He's not into her like she's into him, and she's like, I'm not into you. I'm into your mate.
Aye.
Just then,
I thought that as well, though. I actually thought that at one point I thought, oh, that's going to be misconstrued because when she's talking, she's not very specific, so I can see why he obviously.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's films for you, isn't it? You
know? Aye.
Just then, these kind of hoods turn up, don't they? On the train and start causing hassle. Lang bottles it when one of them pulls a gun, but everyone else on the train's packing. It's really good because really it's New York in the 90s. And then he finally finds the balls to chase them when they get off the train, pulling out his rubber gun on them. He's like, somebody call a cop. Another cop beside me. Which I liked. Moss and the cops arrive, but with no Walter Matthau, which I was very disappointed because that's my kind of transit police.
Yeah.
Susan explains.
The main thug that at first, from a distance when I first saw him, it looks like the singer that turned into the UFO hunter for Blink-182.
I was going to say, is it the Blink-182 guy? Surely he's two. Yeah, fucking hell. Tom DeLonge, is that right? Yeah.
Okay. DeLonge.
Fucking hell. I did think that. I was like, no, he's far too young. Susan explains he's pinned down and won't shoot because of all the people stood around him when she's talking to the cops. Nick realises the shooter's out of bullets. Moss from behind him, then go and get him. And he's like, the report will look better with your name on it. And he walks up to him and puts the gun in his face. The beat cops arrest him. See, I was right, no bullets. It's like, you were wrong. And he shoots, didn't he? A magazine with Lang's face on. Misfire.
Fuck,
he nearly died. Moss is yelling out Lang, it's a coincidence that you were together. She explains that he's more of a man than Moss and kisses him goodbye. And I'm like, you kissed him! You kissed him on the face! back at the station, the chief tells Moss that Nick does not leave Moss's sight no matter what. And he leans forward and we see he's wearing this crew bomber jacket from his current film. It's like Alan Partridge in the Castrol GTX jacket at the funeral.
That's right. Oh, that's brilliant.
Jurassic Park. Report of the party crasher on the radio. Moss heads up to the building, but not before handing Lang a gun, telling him to remain. Of course he does not. Follows him up these stairs, onto the stairwell. Lang hears gunshots, and Moss screams at him to get back in the car and call for backup. As he leaves, he falls down the stairs, spots this guy at the top of the stairs, dressed like the Fonz for some reason.
Yep.
Who he shoots and kills. He's an unarmed man, and they flee the scene. Moss says if he takes the rap, he could save both their careers. Moss packs Lang on a flight back to LA. He says, if you need anything, money or suit for the trial, call me. He's like, no, we can't ever speak again. This is probably the best bit of the film for me. I really liked this bit because obviously I'd never seen it. And the first time I watched it, I was like, fuck, that is a way to end it. And then it was kind of like when you learn. As the flight's boarding, Lang has a change of heart and heads back to the station to make a full confession. We see the guy that he shot dead acting out the scene. He's a cop, and they did it to get rid of him. It's good. I like a kind of a switcheroo. Yeah. It's shit. You know, they're all having a laugh.
Really shit. At least LL Cool J had a laugh, though.
Absolutely. at the stakeout of the Witherspoon party crasher deal, we've got Louise Guzman and Woods are both there, and the crasher takes Witherspoon hostage. He knows they're there and talks directly to Moss as he gets out the car. He asks why he's being treated like a criminal, and then takes his fuel pump and douses the whole area with petrol.
I know. Yeah, I thought an underground garage with a bloody petrol pump
Is it like what? The underground garage in
Dawn of the Dead?
That's
what I thought.
Was there not also an underground garage in Land of the Dead?
Yes, there you was. Where, Dennis Hopper.
Hopper gets his, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, I've got to watch that again. I know it's not a great film, but I really like it.
I like them. Yeah, I like them. I really like them. Got a lot of time for them.
He says he only kills bad people. And he has to be reminded there was a four-year-old girl he killed. He's like, yeah, she was a pawn. Fucking hell. I would have been a great cop. And Moss is like, look, I'll put a good word in for you if you just give up. And he's like, you must think I'm stupid. He throws a Zippo into the fuel and they all escape before it blows up.
Yeah.
Nothing blows up outside. You notice that?
Oh, no,
when,
I
when
just... When
they drive out, you don't see any of that.
And blammo.
It's a bit cheap. Yeah, blammo indeed, John.
I was looking at the word stakeout.
Okay.
And where it comfy. So word comes from the stake that surveyors used to mark off a piece of land. It's been used since the 1940s, the actual word. So.
All right. Oh, fantastic. There you go. Yeah. Right, well, had we done the film Stakeout as we were going to at one point, we might have done. But it's a really bad film. I couldn't make it through at the end. The crasher lives up to his name and crashes Witherspoon's van. Meanwhile, Lang's stolen a cop car and hears a report on the radio, so chases Moss into a cinema, which Moss has followed the crasher into. It's showing a really culturally insensitive scene from Lang's new film with the ninjas.
With the ninjas? Last action hero.
Yes. The crasher shoots at Moss and a gunfight ensues. Everyone leaves the screen in droves and Lang manages to mirror the action on the screen, riding a ripped curtain down the screen. And the only person left in the auditorium is this little kid who just claps, didn't he? He loves the scene. Yeah. Meanwhile, Moss manages to wing the crasher with a bullet and he's bundled into an ambulance. In the lobby, Lang punches Moss, who explains he knows now what it feels like to kill somebody. He's like, now I know what it feels like to be you. We see the ambulance and a dead cop as Lang drives the cop car away. The crasher's in the back seat with a gun. Lang acts crazy, doesn't he? He's like, I've got a tumour the size of a squash in my head and it's heading down to my colon. He's doing all these bits from films. He speed crashes through this farmer's market, by the way. I loved him driving through watermelons. I really did.
Yeah. That's... Oh, did you get a thing out of that, you weirdo?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a watermelon.
Oh, apple pies. he calls it in. He's like, want something done right? Call an actor, which is pretty good. The crasher knocks him out by smashing his head against the steering wheel. I've always hated your movies. Everyone hates this guy's films.
I know.
I can't think who he's meant to be. Is he meant to, he's not meant to be Arnie, of course. Is he meant to be Stallone?
I think he's meant to be James Corden.
Indeed.
Everybody hates him.
I wish he'd had that heart attack as a teenager. I know that was a film. I know that wasn't really him, but yeah. Anyway. That night, Susan arrives at Mossy's and chews him out over lying about who Lang is. We're nearly there, listeners. He tells her he cares about her more than anyone. But she can't be with a cop. It's all the violence. She can't put Bonnie through that, not knowing if she's ever going to have a father that comes home. And I'm kind of like, Jesus, mate, it's like your fifth date.
What, you know. Like,
come on, girl. You know, you think he's intense, you're intense. Get a rest.
I know. Fucking bunny boiler.
We'll come to that. It's the third act. The killer wants to cause as much of an issue in the third act. Maybe he decapitates your horse, the Godfather, or boils your rabbit, John. Fatal Attraction. There you go.
Fatal Attraction. Yeah, yep.
Just then the phone rings and the crasher says that he has Bonnie. She's an angel, but she doesn't have wings. They head down the street to the building with a horrifying billboard.
Yeah.
This gigantic film star will smoke us all. The inner workings of it, by the way, John, I honestly thought it was like a machine out of Saw, didn't it? It's got cogs and pulleys and traps and steam pipes. It's got a massive bike chain. Nick Lang, I would like to play a game. That little fucking thing coming round on the little tricycle. The crasher kicks Moss out of the hat and onto the ledge. Susan helps him up. He's kind of hanging off the thing. While Lang fights him, hooking him to the conveyor. They all head in, to see where he is, and he's managed to get down, and he's just left his jacket up there.
I know.
How he's done that, I don't know. It's like a scarecrow.
I don't understand it either.
It's best not to think about it.
Nah.
As Joe always says. He's got loose, and he does the same move. He kicks Susan out this time. She falls out onto the giant cigarette, and as that starts breaking, Nick heads to save her, jumping down and grabbing her just before the thing breaks in half and smashes to the ground. It's like a slightly worse North by Northwest ending, isn't it, this? You know, where they're hanging on the monument? Man, I wish I'd watched North by Northwest instead of this.
Out the nose, hanging out the nose. Well, that secret room in the ear.
Just as Moss is about to be shot by the crasher, Nick hits him with... I thought it was a 2x4. I thought it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan for a second. Oh, and then he shoots Nick.
Yeah.
He's like, this isn't the movie, stupid. But it gives Moss long enough to climb up and throw the crasher off the roof. What a throw as well.
I mean,
he goes like a rag doll, doesn't he? And then you'd kind of just see them fall off and then
they went
the
for
thing.
Ages.
But there's
it?
A middle bit, isn't there? Where he goes
to the moon, the silhouette.
Where he goes past
the Times Square.
Yeah, he goes past the Konica sign or something.
Mitre
copies. Yeah. Konica cameras, that's the one I didn't get, John. But Mitre copiers, Aston Villa shirt sponsor in the 90s. Acquired in 2000 by Japanese film Kyocera. Jesus, this truly is the Eat No Longer Exists podcast experience, isn't it?
Yeah. What about Minolta? Was there Minolta there? I'm sure I saw Minolta.
Oh, I didn't see that. There were so many, wasn't there? There's Camel Cigarette. I've let us all down here, listeners. I've let us all down.
Camel, Minolta.
Yeah. By the way, he lands on the Pope Mobile, which is full of mannequins. What was that about? It was like an advert for a shop.
Wish David Blaine was in there.
Shazam! Shazam indeed. The ambulance arrives to take Nick. He's like, you got what you wanted. Real bad guys, real bullets, real blood is what Moss is saying to him. And then we smash to Nick doing the same speech in a film, and Moss is at the premiere. That's my line. I said that to him, and they're like, shh, we're watching the movie. And that's the movie.
And he's shorter in real life, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he's shorter in real life. Which brings me to something that I absolutely missed. Ferragamo shoes. He's got Ferragamo shoes. I was like, I haven't heard of those, but Rachel's like, I know exactly what they are. They're elevated shoes, both for men and women. So I guess that's kind of the whole him being short gag.
They cost a fortune. I've seen a pair of loafers for £655.
I also had the penny loafers, and at that price, I am delighted to stay 5'11", listeners. final one for me. Continental Airways is who he's flying with. I think they went out of business in 2012. Maybe because of the Gerbil Olympics, I don't know. But it could also be because they were bought out by United Airlines. I mean, who am I to say, other than one of two hosts of an eminent film trivia podcast?
Exactly. Do you know who he is?
do you know who I am? Indeed. Yeah. John, any more facts? I'll sort them up.
The most popular games console in 1991 was the actual Game Boy.
Oh, right, I had one of those. I love my Game Boy.
I love my Game Boy. He said at one point somebody says, sitting about pulling her puds.
Right, yeah.
Pud, is it Pud?
Pud, yeah.
Pud. So Pud is short for pudenda, which is Latin for genitals.
Oh, right, oh, wow.
So it's a real thing. I thought it was just pudding, as in your pudding.
Yeah, I did as well, yeah.
So okay. It's for pudenda.
Okay. Any more?
Just that Minolta was founded in Osaka, Japan in 1928.
Okay.
That's it.
Lovely. Thank you very much. John Badham, the director. John Badham has made some absolute stinkers, John. That Frank Langella Dracula film.
Oh, God.
Blue Thunder, as previously mentioned, Stakeout. Your face when I mentioned Blue Thunder. Is that a future episode, John?
I love Blue Thunder.
Okay, I'll put it on the list. Stakeout, of course, we talked about. There was a poster in the theatre for Bird on the Wire. That's also Gibson and Horn.
Gibson and Horn.
That's also one of Badham's. Bad man, more like. His sister, though, is an Oscar-nominated actress. She played Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, right, okay.
Which I quite liked. I'm sure I have at least one more thing here. He mentions he has a Stairmaster, doesn't he? Yeah. Stairmaster 5000 launched in 1983 and was exactly what you think it is. Height difference between the two of them. Fox is 5'4" and Woods, same height as me, 5'11".
There you go.
Fantastic. I'm going to top them up, John. How many do you think we got?
Well, we've definitely got male in 69. I'm going to go 89.
Ooh, 75.
What a year.
75.
Huh? I was born. What a year. That's when I was born.
75. It's better. It's better. There you go. Fantastic. If you like what we do, once again, go and check our socials. We're pretty all over those at the moment. 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk. Also, if you want to get a shout out, you want to help us pick the films in March, or you want to listen to me reading cheesy romance novels on the Patreon, then give us a quid a month at patreon.com/100things. John, final words for the lovelies.
Well, this runs more for you. I wish it was about the rakes. I want to hear more.
Do you know what? I really wanted. I wish I could. I wish sometimes I could. I could rake these things. So it could have been about the rakes. I wanted it to be the rakes.
But no. I was going to say, watch out for the weather. Apparently, the weather's pretty bad where you are.
I'm out and about tomorrow with work, mate. Yeah, I'm back at work tomorrow.
Jesus, so be careful out there, guys. Be careful.
And I'm sure people listening to this in June will appreciate that. John, next week, I know we've talked about it. Do you remember what we're going to be covering?
No. Warriors, I knew it was one thing. Come and you made it something else.
We're going to do Warriors. I found out the DVD. Standard definition DVD yesterday. So I don't know. I don't know what legal way you're going to have of watching this.
I might even see Exit because that's a classic. So we'll probably have it in CEX.
Yeah, I'm going to have a look, see if anybody has got a Blu-ray copy that I can get.
Let's
not do the director's cut. Let's just do the normal version.
Yeah.
The director's cut's fucking rank. Walter Hill needs to be stopped. But I guess Father Time will do that for us soon enough.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. But until then, he's been John, I've been Plenty, and this has been 75 Things We've Learned from James Woods, Michael J. Fox, in the fucking hard way. See ya.
See ya, guys.